Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to another session of Open Government Radio. I'm your host, Steve Buckley, and today is March 9th, 2010. And on today's show, we are going to be having some of the organizers from last Saturday's Gov 2.0 Camp New England, and that occurred at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government in Cambridge, which makes it much easier for me to attend it, which I did. Being in Massachusetts, living in Massachusetts myself, it was only a couple hours away. So it was very interesting to attend there, and I was able to convince some of the organizers to attend. There were five, and I managed to get three to join us today at various times. The first one is Sarah Bourne and Jessica Weiss, both of whom work for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And the third is Laurel Ruma. And I'll let her describe her background when she gets here. She'll be joining us about 2:30. Rob Goodspeed, and I wasn't able to get a hold of Yasmin Fodil. So, but certainly they can, can pick up the phone and call in. For those of you who are listening online, the call-in number is 917-388-4210. Just like with regular radio, you would have to turn off your computer's speakers in order to, because there is a time delay, so that would be confusing. The best way to follow the discussion today is to go to ustransparency.com, and that's my blog. And I've put some links there and a discussion of what went on there. And if you, even if you're listening to this sometime in the future, you can still follow along with the with the sections that we'll be pointing to. I'm going to point to the wiki for Gov 2.0 Camp New England, and I think that would be a good place to start as far as explaining, you know, what went on. People can, of course, because it's a wiki, they can still add to the resources and things that were notes from the various sessions and so forth and so on. But I'm going to look and see here. Let's see. Let's see. Is Jessica or Sarah with us?
I'm on the line.
And who's that? Is that?
This is Sarah.
Okay, Sarah. Great. And I'm going to see if this is. And Jess?
Yeah. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Okay, you're both on.
Hi.
Good. Good. And I think I was speaking with Laurel Ruma was going to be joining us at 2:30, and somebody else I think had to leave at 2:30, so there's kind of a tag team there. So that'll work out, I think. But like I said, I was what I try to do, and I'm not sure if I explained to you before, I try to make it so that instead of rattling off long URLs or web addresses and so forth, that people can start out by going to my blog at ustransparency.com, and the posting for today, of course, gives a description of short description of the Gov 2.0 Camp New England, and some links, and of course, I linked to both of your Twitter accounts, and people want to get a hold of you that way. And then I put some more links down below there. So if you hadn't been in front of a screen, I'm not sure if you're are you both able to are you sitting at
yep.
a computer?
Yep. Yes, I am. Yep.
Oh, okay. And does that come up, that blog posting? I just want to make sure we're all on the same screen. And that's okay. There's no rush, because I'm sure other people are probably, if they're listening to this, or even in the future, you know, we don't want to be clicking away and going faster than they are, because then they'll get lost. So basically it's the same type of thing when you're talking on the phone with somebody and you're describing, oh, okay, click here, oh, right-hand column, okay, and so forth. So I thought what we could do is after we chat a bit, we can go into the, not right now, but we can look at the wiki for the camp and go on a little guided tour of what's there and what neat things and so forth. But first, let's tell me, each of you, a bit about yourselves. I'll let you introduce yourselves. I won't, because you both seem to have so many different aspects to your career that I don't think I could do it justice. So I guess, Sarah, why don't you go first?
Okay. I work for the Massachusetts Information Technology Division, and I actually have two jobs right now. Times are tough, and we all pitch in as we can. I'm the I've been working with Mass.gov for many years, and I'm the chief technology strategist for our online presence. And I recently adopted the Assistive Technology Lab, and I'm the director of that group. That's the assistive technologies being hardware and software that people with various disabilities use to make computers useful to them.
Okay. And so when you say chief technology strategist, how would that compare to, say, a chief technology officer?
Well, you know, my operational counterpart, Joe, is in charge of making sure everything's running. And so he's always looking at the ground right in front of his feet. I'm the one that's supposed to be looking at a little bit further. So looking at what new technologies are coming, new trends, how people view the use of the Internet, and therefore how Mass.gov needs to evolve to change those user expectations, stuff like that.
Okay. So... so you were saying Joe is more of the
Joe Gluccio. What am I? He's invisible. He runs the technical side. He keeps the servers going and making sure all of our content applications are working properly.
Oh, okay, so more of the IT,
right
aspect of it, and you get to do the easy part. The strategy.
Well, you know, it depends on where your skills and interests are.
That's right. Maybe that's harder for him, easier for you, vice versa. And what he does is easier for him and harder for you. So,
right.
But I see. Okay. And is it, you go by, it's Jess, I guess you prefer,
yep,
Jess.
Jess
Weiss.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And go ahead, Jess, tell us.
I also work for the Information Technology Division. I work for Mass.gov, and I am the Project and Social Media Coordinator. So I also spend about half my time working with Joe to help him in terms of project management and keeping our implementation projects running smoothly, but I also work to help develop enterprise standards for social media, best practices, help our agencies get up to speed and jump into social media in a way that makes sure that they have all their T's crossed and I's dotted and things like that.
Okay, so do you both like work down the hall from each other or at each other's elbows?
Or down the hall and around the corner, kind of.
Okay, it's the information technology that... Information Technology Division, is that right?
Right,
you both?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then that's pretty close then. And how did you both get involved with the other organizers for the camp? How did that...
Sarah brought me into it. It was all Sarah.
And I met... Yasmin was the first person. I'd actually gone down to the first Gov2O Club camp in Washington, D.C. Almost a year ago. It was the end of March. And the the premise there. It was the same, pretty much the same kind of setup as we had here. It was an unconference. People who were interested were supposed to come, propose sessions, so on and so forth. And it was just such an incredibly valuable experience for me. I've been to so many conferences where I just don't feel like I've gotten my money's worth except for the opportunities that I had to interact with and network with people who have similar interests. The unconference model really turns that whole thing on its head. It's not a go to the conference, sit in the room, and passively listen to one person's presentation. For me, it goes right to the value of it, which is the dialogue with other interested people. And I just find that I get a whole lot more out of it. One of the things that we were all told to do was to go back home and start up our own government 2.0 camps and to continue the discussions as the technology and best practices and so on and so forth became more mature, so would the topics of these conferences. So it was, you know, and I came back, told everybody what a great time it was. There was lots of support, lots of interest. There's no money for conferences or travel government budgets right now. And so people were very excited about this concept that we can all learn a lot from each other. We just need the opportunity to do that. I was very lucky to be introduced to Yasmin Fodil, who's a student at the Harvard Kennedy School. And when I talked to her about the camp, she really said, "Oh, yeah, we need to do that." And it was her connections, being a student at the Kennedy School, that was able to get the sponsorship for us from the Shorenstein Center at the Harvard Kennedy School. So that was a big plus. Yasmin and I then asked Laurel Ruma, who we hope is calling in about half an hour, to see if she could give us any advice on how to do things like this, because she's been involved in so many camps, and she enthusiastically volunteered to join the group. We then also picked up Rob Goodspeed, that Yasmin knew, who's a PhD student in, I think it's Urban Studies program at MIT. And I brought Jess in because she's just been so great she's such a leader for us in the social media space of Gov2.0 and has so many contacts within the state. We thought it would be really valuable to have her help us out, too.
Let's see. Is Jess and I
yep,
can't
I'm
hear.
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. And so is Sarah? Did we lose Sarah?
No, I'm still here.
Oh. Oh, okay.
That was me just talking. I thought I'd give somebody else a chance.
Okay. The audio went in and out, so I wasn't sure if it was me or you or what. So, okay. And so it must have gone out right as you finished the sentence. Sorry. Well, you were saying that, yes, compared to a regular conference where there are sessions and, you know, ahead of time who's going to be speaking and which ones to go to, and you can figure out, you know, I'm going to go to this one and this track, and of course you have to make decisions because if they're holding simultaneous sessions, you have to figure out which one you want to be in. And so that's the good part about that, is that you can plan ahead about where you're going to go. But at the second, the downside is that Sometimes you don't want to hear any of them. So you go out in the hallway and talk to people you want to talk to. So that's probably a little bit closer to what the unconference is. It's like it's what you want to talk about. And the group comes up with the ideas to think about pretty much on the fly. Is that a pretty fair picture of what how the unconference works? Or
that's how it works for me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it really was a collaborative process. I mean, the agenda was really driven by the people who were in attendance. And, you know, we raised our hands and pitched ideas and collaborated and negotiated and came up with the agenda that we had.
Mm-hmm. And so had you, Jess Weiss, had you been to one of these before? I know Sarah Bourne said she had been to one in Washington, but had you been to one?
I hadn't been to one, so it was really unique because I was an attendee for the first time and I was also an organizer.
So you were trying to make sense of it as you were trying to
I had Sarah to
help
guide
it along.
Me, so.
And so let me ask you, as a neophyte then, Jess, was how did it how do you think it went, or what was your overall impression about the sessions and so forth?
I have to say I was ecstatic. I learned so much, and you know, sometimes in government we can be in a little bit of a bubble. And so having such a diverse group of people there collaborating and discussing and coming to consensus, or sometimes not coming to consensus, was just so educational for me. And the feedback I've received has been very positive. I mean, not that everything went perfectly, but people really, I think, enjoyed the fact that they were able to meet with people with different points of view and get outside their normal sphere of influence and just get a larger picture of what Gov2O can be. I think it went extraordinarily well. I would definitely attend another one of these. It was so educational.
Okay. And what would you say? And I can certainly say I agree with that. It was worth every penny.
But we offer full refunds.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we don't have to give you a refund.
or double your money back.
Right.
Since it was a zero, for those who weren't in on that joke. but I certainly, that was very generous of the Shorenstein Center for, is it?
Oh, absolutely.
Of the Shorenstein Center for,
mm-hmm.
What?
Oh, yeah, this is a quiz, isn't it? Public policy and media and public policy? No, I can't, I'm sorry. We'll have to Google this here.
Yeah, the Shorenstein Center. At Harvard University, the Kennedy School of Government. So I'm sure people, it was very generous of whoever made that decision, especially the part about providing free lunch, which I thought was very good because they were all wraps. So it was very easy to sit around and gobble them without having to cut up
right.
food or
right.
But we were very glad that they had food, because if people had gone out, they may never have come back. It was such a beautiful day.
It was so beautiful out.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And I had luckily my last session was up in the penthouse, which was outside.
Oh, nice.
So it was actually so hot up there. I mean, what did it get, close to 60 that day, I guess, that it was just really, really pleasant to be up there on the oops, so that was very nice. You're right, but it would have been half of them wouldn't have come back. Sarah, was there how did it go for as an organizer or somebody who had been to one before? You of course that I'm not sure how. I guess you said you liked the one that was in Washington D.C. with the Gov2O camp last spring, but how was your overall impression about how things went?
I think they went just wonderfully. I think that, as Jess was saying, we had the right people in the room. Everybody that was there was really either very interested or very passionate, and some people were a little bit of both. Everybody was there to learn and then found out that they actually had something to teach and were very generous in the various sessions. It was everything I had hoped for.
Okay. But I'm sure it could have been. I mean, you know, once you get the hang of it, you can get things more. Yeah, there's always room for improvement. But I'd say that was I got the impression that was.
I think, you know, for a first camp in this area, it was perfect. Another one after this, I think we need to get a little bit more sophisticated. I think there was one person who mentioned in a blog post that, you know, they smushed three session ideas into one session because they all had to do with data, but that they were really different topics. And so I think in future camps we might be less encourage people to have a particular focus for the camp. Instead of being just sort of anything having to do with government using computers, that we might focus the topic a little bit, or perhaps even have special tracks so that the data topics covers a ton of territory, that they can actually get into more granular sessions and have them be more valuable for people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we can take a look at the, like I said, is there something on the wiki that would accommodate that? I mean, the idea that, I know you asked people ahead of time the people who had registered to come up with ideas and put it on the wiki.
Mm-hmm.
And I was torn. I mean, certainly there's things that I would like to talk about, but in the same sense, I'm like, well, should I put one out there or should I see what other people want to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
And because I was afraid that part of me said that if I had a session, that I would have to go to my session.
Right, right.
And I couldn't go to the other one that was at the same time or something like that.
Yeah.
So I decided to hang back and see what evolved.
Mm-hmm.
So I do see a value in once I saw the process, which can be somewhat a little chaotic as far as trying to condense. And I think is it Steve Sherlock?
Yeah.
Who was
I wanted to say Sherwood, but I think I've gotten
Sherwood.
Let's see.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, the gentleman, Steve, with the tricorn hat, who people will probably see in the video once the video is up, because
mm-hmm.
there will be an organization called videominutes.net, I believe, will be posting the video from various sessions, including the one where they took everybody's ideas and tried to condense them into, what, a dozen or so sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be quite disconcerting, especially like, well, what happened to my idea?
Right.
And they watched it all getting consolidated on the fly. So that
right. And little things happen, like sometimes the post notes, a couple of the post notes had fluttered to the floor and were found later and had to be accommodated somehow after people had already taken off for the first round of sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, oh, better glue next time.
Right. But I still
by the way, you were right. It's Steve Sherlock, who is Sher Steve on Twitter, Sherstevee,
mm-hmm.
who graciously, he's done a lot of bar camps and was very graciously volunteered to help us run the board. It was something we were all a little nervous about because we didn't have any expertise in that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I was impressed that he was able to make sense of all the different things and condense them and put this one with that one and this one with this and this can
mm-hmm.
go over here and so forth and so on. And whether he really knew what he was doing or he just acted as if he knew what he was doing, I was still impressed either way. anyway, I know that Jess needs to leave at 2:30. So is there something, anything? I was wondering if we could both all click on that link number one. On my posting on U.S. Transparency, where it has wiki pages for Gov2O Campus, is there something, I'm guessing perhaps, I mean, whether it's here, I wanted to give Jess an opportunity to say something if I haven't asked the right question before she has to leave us. But was there anything there that you wanted to point to? Or also, that's right, I did put a link there too, also for the civic engagement, link number three. Is something that you had told me about. It's a civic engagement webpage. And down at the bottom of that is actually the one where you talk about, wait a minute. I thought I put one. It was this, one of these.
Did you go to www.mass.gov/social-media?
Uh-huh.
The page you link to is a lot of the governor's stuff, and the governor really has been a thought leader in this area, and
we
collaborated very closely with them.
Okay.
But
it actually is at the bottom of the page. If you go to that link that I put, link number three, and then scroll to the bottom of the page, there is Governor's Office Social Media Usage and Policies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's the one you told me about before the show. Is that right?
Well, this one is the Governor's Social Media Use Policy. We also have templates and toolkits to help people get to this place that we've developed in collaboration with a multidisciplinary team that involve people in legal, that involve people in security, that involve people in accessibility, that involve business people, communications people. And you can see a lot of that work on mass.gov/social-media.
Oh, okay. So that's... I just want to make sure I understand. So that's separate from this page I'm looking at now. That says
yes.
Right.
Governor.
This page is an implementation of the mm-hmm. the work of the other group.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then I'll add that to the posting afterwards so that people will see both of these links, the governor's office social media usage and policies, and then the one where it's mass.gov/social media. And they can see. Is there something else that you wanted to, just before you leave us, that you wanted
just,
to?
I have to echo Sarah in saying that what made this conference successful was the people who we brought together. One of the comments that I saw was that this was different because it wasn't only technical, that it was people who were technical, but people who were also trying to figure out how to use the tools from a business and communications perspective. And I think having that mix of people, techies and non-techies, federal, state, municipal attendees, I think that really gave us such a diverse group of people that people were able to get a lot more out of it, because in this case, the whole was so much more than the sum of the parts.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was really crucial to our success.
Yeah, no, I was struck by the diversity of backgrounds of people who were there. And I think it was, in spite of what someone else said, I think it was a good idea to go around the room, because even though there were, how many people were there in the room in the very beginning?
I don't think we've
100?
Actually gotten around to actually comping it up, but we think it was around 150.
Okay.
That actually
and
registered
everybody
that
went around
day.
And just got and gave their name and where they're from and three words that captured what it was. And I think that was definitely worthwhile, because it gave people a sense of where everybody was coming from as opposed to just faces.
Sorry, go ahead, Sarah.
No, you go ahead.
I definitely agree, because I think one of the things I heard was from people who are maybe less technically savvy, and they were, you know, should I come? Is it okay if I come? They were really feeling a little intimidated about being there. And I think by doing that, they got the sense that it was okay for them to be there, that they weren't the only ones who were a little bit less experienced in the space. And I think that was a leveling factor that made people maybe come out of their shells a little bit more.
I think it made them come out a lot more. I think that everybody thinks, oh, I must be the only one from local government here. I'm the only one who's a student here. But the introductions, even though I totally failed to remember anybody's name from that, I'm very poor at that. And about three names in, I had lost everybody. I think it made everybody feel more comfortable. Oh, I'm not the only local government person. I'm not the only person who came down from Maine. I'm not the only person who's interested in using open data. People discovered that it was a very diverse crowd and that you had peers there, no matter what you were afraid might be the case.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
And there was one selectman, I think, from, I don't know, it was Hadley, Mass. Or someplace like that, who described his job. I'm selectman, and I also fix the copy machine.
Right.
he was that was his tech support.
Right.
So when people heard things like that, they're like, oh, okay, well, I fixed the copy machine, too, so.
I think one thing that made this really special for me was the number of citizens who came. They're not in government. They're not studying public policy. They're just citizens interested in their government and what they can do to make it better. That made me very happy.
Okay. And, Jess, if you, I know you have to.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I do have to drop off. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I appreciate the opportunity to contribute.
Glad you could make it. And
thank you. Bye.
I'll sure be talking again. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Jess.
And
bye, Sarah.
And I'm going to see if Laurel might be here. Let's see. Laurel, are you there? No, not yet. Anyway, well, we can. I'm looking at my control panel here to see, and I think we do have a caller, but is there some, before I'll be willing to take this call, if somebody who wants to has a question or a comment, then that'd be great, but was there something that you were about to say, Sarah, or do you want to take a pause here and see if we have a commenter or a question?
Why don't we see if we've got somebody with a question?
Okay. And like I said, I tell people that they can listen in on the phone, and that's fine. So if hold a second. Okay. Do we have a caller? Hello?
Hello, Steve Sherlock here.
Well,
hi, Steve.
Well,
I mangled your name.
Okay.
No problem.
Then.
I've been called worse.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I said what I did when I did, Steve. So, thank you very much for being the person who had to take the wheat from the chaff, or I don't know, combine all those sessions into what, half a dozen, or not half a dozen, about a dozen.
There are 21 sessions, I think, is what we were ending up with.
21.
And I think there was about 40, or at least over 30 to start with. So, yeah, it was a little bit of a challenge, but obviously there may be ways to do it better, but it worked for Saturday. And certainly, as you've already discussed, the people who did show up, did participate, did get engaged in the discussion, and that's really what matters.
You had done this before or something? They alluded to the fact that you seem to have had some experience with an unconference in the past or something like this?
Yes, I think if I've kept the total up, that was my 15th unconference since 2006 when I went to the first PodCamp Boston.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, you really are a veteran then of this format.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
I'll
claim that.
And and like I said, I'll just remind the listeners, if they go to the wiki, I guess there'll be a link there to some video. And Steve Sherlock, is that right? Sherlock, right?
Sherlock, Edson Holmes,
right,
yes.
Right, is the gentleman with the distinctive black hat.
Tricorner.
Yes, tricorner hat. So, for those who don't know what that is, I think you're the only one wearing a black hat, so it'll be easy to pick out of the crowd. And he was the one who took all the various suggestions and was able to condense them with some input from the crowd at the same time. So that's what made it to me, is that people were like, hey, what are you doing with my session? You're mixing it with that one. What? Okay. So I was afraid that might get bogged down in people's concerns about that, but that seemed to work out well. And Steve, how did you get pulled into this? Do you have an association with Harvard Kennedy or?
Nope, I'm a place blogger for Franklin, Mass, which is where we currently live. So I do live reporting for the town council meetings, school committee meetings, etc. And thereby have been involved in this kind of open government, although in a small way here. And when I heard that there was, one, a free conference, two, was unconference, and three, it was about open gov, it's like, hey, if it's going to be at Harvard, I'll be there.
Yeah, no, that's the same thing I did, although you're a little closer than me. But, yeah, price was right, and it was a very nice weekend to go up there, I guess without the snow and so forth. But I think you might be like me. It's kind of like a hobby. I'm a former federal employee, but it's kind of like once it gets into your blood, can't shake it. So
yes.
And it looks like this is a really exciting time. I'm guessing it sounds like the same to you and to Jess and other people. It just seems like a really, really exciting time where the technology has gotten to the point where there's really no excuse anymore. I mean, at least from a technological point of view, as far as what's holding us back, it's really, in my mind at least, it's not so much the technology that's holding us back. It's the mental and the cultural ruts that we're in that we need to get out of as far as how to actually use it. And that which is very uncomfortable for people, especially in the government, who have been used to doing things for a certain way for, you know, their whole career. And now it's like, you know, pull back the shade and let's see what you're up to. Yikes.
Right.
They're not used to people knowing what they're up to. So,
indeed.
Yeah, like I said. And I'm going to see if Laurel's joined us here.
Hi, Steve.
Are you there, Laurel?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Great. So, fine. Jessica Weiss just left us a little while ago, but if there was something that, and I was pointing out to earlier that I put links on my blog, which is ustransparency.com, and there's a link there to the wiki for Gov2O Camp New England, and I thought maybe if there were some favorite parts, because I mean there's a lot of little nooks and crannies at the wiki, so there might be some place where you say, oh, we need, you know, here's a neat little thing that's been added, and of course people can continue to add things. It's not like, okay, it's closed down and archived or anything like that. Let's see, click on that page, it'll of course come up for the wiki, but it's there, and my browser is a little slow, but that's okay because it gives other people a chance to get ahead of me. Okay,
right.
Now I'm looking at the wiki, and it says front page up to the left in red letters, just so everybody knows we're all looking at the same page at the same time. Is there something that you think is, any of you think is kind of neat there that, or if there's an empty spot where you'd like to see people add things who maybe attended, and
The wiki is continuing to evolve. It's a, definitely not a static page. So we encourage people to post ideas and blog posts from the weekend there, as well as add themselves to the attendee directory. There's only so much information you can kind of get on people who are on Twitter, or if you didn't get a business card. But that's a way for people to kind of add more information about what they're doing, what they're interested in. One of my favorite things is actually I made a Wordle, which is a tag cloud of the three-word introductions. So most conferences start, as you mentioned, by going around the room and everyone introducing themselves and then mentioning three words that they're excited about or interested in. And by compiling all these words into a gigantic tag cloud, the words that repeated the most gain weight, or they become larger in this tag cloud. So on the Wordle, you can see that data, government, community, open, and information are some of the most important words that were repeated over and over again during the introductions.
And for people who are following, I want to make sure they're looking at this. This would be like on the front page there, probably, I don't know, not halfway down, but I'd say scroll down, and then there's some bold lettering that says Gov2O Camp on Twitter, and then right under that there's a little highlighted Wordle. It says Wordle of three-word introductions. And if you open that in, a new window, then you'll see what Laurel's talking about there. And I looked for my three words, and I guess none of them made it. Mine was making democracy better.
Yeah, they don't turn up as phrases. They took each of your words.
Oh yeah, but I didn't see making. And I don't have a 20-inch screen, so I can't see a lot of these little things here. But I'm just saying I did. But I'm a contrarian anyway, so I.
Well, I see better. Better is right to the left of data.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
And also, you know.
Yeah. Okay. You're right.
Human generated, so I couldn't hear everyone's words as we went around the room. Sometimes the mic faded in and out, but certainly no slight to anyone who I forgot. But some of the other interesting words there are youth, research, GIS. And then you'll notice Gov2O is one of the smallest words. So, you know, people were really more there about the content, using Gov2O as an umbrella and really a term that people come together to talk about many different ideas, as well as, you know, accessibility, public, accountability. These are also very important terms that even the president has used in his open government memo.
Well, I see a new word, I mean, one that I'm not using before is community. And also I also see communities, plural. So if you put those together, that would be even bigger.
Might be bigger than data.
So the idea that of a community, that to me, because a lot of what's been described as the open government or Gov.0 community it seems to be so far flung and so spread out with all these different blogs and Twitter and this and that, the idea that maybe the community needs to come together more. And of course, coming together in person, I think, as you all did when you held this on Saturday, just the fact that you see that there are real people and you can touch them. I mean, well, if they'll let you, but that you could, if you want to touch them, and it's not just some, you know, your imaginary friends that you're seeing on the computer and, you know, and so forth and so on. I think even if you don't, that to me was a large part, that there, because I knew there were people around, but I was pleasantly surprised to see that what there were 100 or 150 people that would show up on a Saturday. And
we're really lucky we didn't have a blizzard.
Instead, we had a 55 degree day, so I'm not surprised we lost some of our anticipated headcount. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. So I think that's begin. Is there some place on this wiki where you know, I have a Google group on the Open Government Directive, which is federal in nature, but does a wiki really lend itself to community group discussion, or is there a Google group or some email listserv or anything that for keeping the discussion going, and you know, instead of waiting until next year or whenever the next one might be?
There is a Google group, but that's a good point. I will add it to the wiki now. It is just Gov2O Camp New England, so people can search and find that. And anyone is welcome to join and to talk about what they are doing in their own communities, what they have questions about, reaching out for help, as well as posting ideas and events that maybe they're planning in their own communities. We'd love to hear about those kinds of things on the Google group list.
Mm-hmm.
And to your question, wikis are very good for writing documents up, but they're not so good at for having discussions and conversations. So that's why we've also now started up the Google. One of the things that you can find on that page is on the right-hand side, you'll see a little box labeled sidebar, and it lists the various pages, including the notes that people have taken for the different sessions. And we're encouraging, if anybody's listening who is at the conference, if you took notes, please add them to what people have contributed already, especially the sessions. Some of the sessions don't have any notes. So people may be still working on theirs as the note taker for that session. Took notes there. They haven't gotten them up on the wiki yet. The other thing that we're all waiting with bated breath for is the video minutes. Actually wired up the place, and they were live streaming on Saturday, and they're currently now turning those live streams into archive video that they'll be posting on here. So people can actually go and watch many of these sessions and certainly anything that happened in the main forum for themselves.
Mm-hmm. I guess even if you didn't have notes and attended some of these sessions, the wiki allows, I mean, basically you can add your recollection of how
absolutely
how
yes.
insightful you were when you were at the session, which of course
right.
gets better with time. How everybody was nodding agreement.
Right.
Whether you remember that accurately or not. Laurel, I think you said you were going to add a link to the Google group, but that isn't where would people look for that if you have, I'm not expecting you to do it right now, but
she just did.
Oh, she did. So if I
refresh, yeah, if you refresh the page.
Okay, I will do that. And okay, mine's refreshed, and so keep the conversation. Okay, it's like the second or third, whatever link right near the top, right underneath the logo. Keep the conversation going, so forth and so on. And a Google group isn't just another name for an email listserv, which is an opt-out opt-in email list. So you can put yourself on and take yourself off, and you don't have to ask somebody to do it for you. And you don't even have to join Google. You don't even have to get a Google account, even though it's free. You can subscribe by email and unsubscribe by email, too. Although I guess somebody would have to show you how to do that, but I couldn't say how to do that offhand right now. But anyway, I just, for those of people who are not familiar with email list serves, that's a generic term. It's kind of like Kleenex, but it's actually the difference between Kleenex and tissue. The listserv is a marketing product, but it's still the same thing. And so anyway, but that would be the place to have the ongoing discussion. And then if there was like another event next month, somebody would go put it on here right below there, upcoming 2.0 related events, and then they could tell people about it at the on the Google group and say, hey, here, I just posted some information about this event in my town or Western Mass or Hampshire or wherever, and then use the email group to make sure that people were aware of it and where the link would be. Anything else here that you guys want to point to that like that needs cultivation, or I guess even if people I see there's an attendee directory. People could, what if someone hadn't gone but they want people to know that they exist, or would have gone but it was such a good day they.
It's an honor. It's an honor system. You know, we will have the video. We'll be checking all. No. There's not enough time in the day for that. I suppose people could add themselves to that list, but it's mostly meant, I think, as a way for people to connect back up with people they had interesting discussions with, and they, who was that person that didn't get their card, or they did get a card, but they have a whole handful of them, and they can't remember exactly which one it was. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the information in the directory can help you sort some of those things out.
So, and the thing is that if you register to be a writer, I mean, the way a wiki works, because a lot of people don't know how a wiki works, but this is basically a web page that anybody can add to. And so conceivably, like, for instance, if that's the attendee directory, but if there were people who were like, hey, I want people to know that I exist, even though I wasn't able to make it down to Boston or to Cambridge, you could even have a directory of New England OpenGov people, you know, whether they attended the camp or not. That might be. And so I or someone else could go right in and add, say, this is missing something, and I could add there, and I wouldn't get in trouble. I mean, I think people have some trepidation about changing.
As long as it's on topic, you know, there's been a couple times we've gone in, and I found some ads in there, you know, and it's like, no spammers, you're not welcome here. But as long as it's on topic, I think that it's perfectly reasonable for people to continue to contribute.
And so as long as it wasn't blatant. If someone has a question, then I guess what I'm trying to get people to do is to feel free to put it on there, and they won't be banned for life.
Right.
You get one free warning or something
and,
like
and
that.
And the other thing I'm seeing happening is we had established a hashtag, which you can use at places like Flickr and Twitter, to indicate that this tweet or this picture has to do with a particular thing. And so we were using the #GOV20NE as the hashtag for this conference. And I'm seeing more and more that people are using that now as you're using the hashtag for the subject, not just the event. So when they see things that are happening or they read an article that's pertinent, I'm seeing people use that hashtag on it. So one of the ways you can people can continue to stay in touch with interested people is by saving a search on Twitter for that hashtag.
Mm-hmm. And I did want to point out to the people who are listening that if you go back to the ustransparency.com onto the posting I have with the various links, there is a picture of a very good picture, I guess, that the five of you, at least five of you, but I don't think Steve's there, but there are the five organizers. It's like in the third paragraph down, I said, we will be talking with the Gov2ONE's organizers. And there is a, there is something that's not, it's not coming up. Oh, well, I tried to put a, I'll fix that later.
Okay.
I think it was one of your pictures, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody must have taken your camera or phone or whatever it was, but there's a five.
Right, I handed it to them, yes.
And there were five of you there, and so I did look. And
right.
So
and,
I'll have to go back and fix that link.
Yeah, so back on our wiki page,
right.
Near the top, there's a link to for where we're asking people who have written blog posts or other pieces about the conference to make a to list them on that page and link to them. And we've also gotten found some pictures from the event. So if people go to that to the blogs page, they'll also have links to the conference, and they can look at those pictures and find see if they got if they were captured for posterity.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like between the fact I'm encouraged to hear that there's the Google group is there, because that means that this doesn't have to be a physical face-to-face meetings, although it is good every once in a while to connect and look people in the eye. And of course, it was very generous of, is it Echo Ditto? Was the sponsor for the happy hour afterwards. That was at Tommy Doyle's, which was right around the corner, literally around the corner. And that was a very, and I found out that they have one down here. I'm on Cape Cod, and I found out they have a Tommy Doyle's down here. So, but Echo Ditto, I did meet the gentleman, and I forget his name. They were of course trying to. I'm sure they were doing that to get some notice about what they were doing. But that might even is there a link on Echo Ditto?
Echo Ditto's CEO is Nico Mele, and he also is a professor at the Kennedy School.
And I'm scrolling down. I do see a link there. So there it is, the happy hour spot right below the Jones Shorenstein Center on the Press, Politics, and Public Policy. There, we were talking about that earlier. We want to get that name right. And under video minutes there. So, tomorrow, actually, just kind of on a related thing, is that the Chief Technology Officer, the U.S. Chief Technology Officer under the President, is going to be at a panel, I believe, in that same room at the Shorenstein Center.
Right, along with the CIO from California, and the head of my agency will also be there, who's the CIO for the Commonwealth. And Anne Margulies is going to be at that event as well.
Okay, so I guess, and I don't have the link there, but I'm sure if people went to Shorenstein Center or whatever, they could probably Google that pretty quickly to find out what was going on tomorrow. I'm seriously considering driving back up in the middle of the week, because it's at 6 p.m. I know that. So it's like, okay, if I go into the city, then that won't be so bad.
Right.
As opposed to, and then leaving at, 8 or 9 o'clock, but I might do that just to go in there, because the Chief Technology Officer, Anish Chopra, is one of the people who's been very much involved with in the federal level with the Open Government Directive. So do any of you know whether that's going to be have Q&A after? It says panel discussion.
I believe it will.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I would like to ask a question or two, but I didn't want to drive all the way up there and have it not
yeah,
be that,
that
far.
They didn't inquire with us about how to set this panel up. So.
Yeah, okay.
We can only guess. Okay. Yeah.
I had never been there before, so I didn't know what they usually do.
Yeah, this was actually a gamble for them. They'd never done anything like this. They tend to have much more organized and planned out events. They have had some incredibly famous people come to that center. But the whole concept of a free conference and people make their own schedule, I was really, really pleased that they were willing to take a gamble on this format. And I understand that they were very pleased with the outcome. That, they really didn't know what to expect, and they were pleased with what they saw. So I think we may be invited again.
Great. Well, and Laurel, of course, has been exposed. I know Steve was saying, Steve Sherlock was saying he'd been involved in a number of these, but Laurel, what was your impression as far as unconferences or AKA bar camps go? How did, was this moderately successful or pretty good? What was your general impression?
I felt that it was very successful. I'm always the, I always liken the planning, the session part of the unconference is the equivalent of waiting and just, you know, and figuring out the check and how much everyone owes at a restaurant when you have 20 friends eating together. It's always that kind of confusion. Everyone's trying to figure out what they're doing and what they have and what needs to be, you know, posted to the board. So it is done on paper traditionally, so people can see what's on, what's been presented and what is being offered by other participants, and then translated over to a wiki or other some kind of electronic format, so people can see the schedule no matter where they are in the building. But other than that, I thought it was actually a very good unconference. We had a phenomenal diversity of attendees, but because it is Boston, we were very happy to see a large number of academics from the major institutions come by, as well as a large amount of local leaders from across New England. We were very happy to see the number of small towns show up, and that made it very different from other Gov2O camps, the one previous ones being in Los Angeles and D.C., and what's been so interesting after going to all of them is that each one takes on its own regional flavor. So in Los Angeles, it was more Bill Grundfist, who is a television program writer, was discussing what is Gov2O, you know, how do you communicate your message to the people. And that was an interesting perspective to hear from his side. And then, of course, the Gov2O camp in D.C., Sarah and I were both at, it was very D.C.-based. So,
very federal government.
Very federal government-focused, right? So as we spread across the country and this idea keeps going, I'm curious to see how the Rocky Mountain one in June will be, because that I don't know, you know, what kind of people will show up there. The other interesting liberty that we took with the planning of this event is that we included 6 5-minute lightning talks, which is not necessarily a staple of every single unconference or camp. And those were really good ways for the audience and everyone else to kind of see what everyone's doing and what projects people are working on, what small companies are in New England focused on Gov2O initiatives like C-Click-Fix, which is based out of New Haven. And that was fantastic to really show off what's being done in this area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure if, because you joined us later, we did touch on that where everybody, Jess Weiss and I were saying, and Sarah, I guess, too, that the diversity, it was very healthy to have all these different perspectives instead of just the same people talking to the same people about the same things, you know, and hearing, you know, the idea of the people out in the field and the selectmen and so forth, including, I think, Laurel, your mother was a former selectman or something like that?
Yep, she was a selectman for 9 or 10 years, and before that she was on the school board in a small town in Acton. So, mm-hmm. You know, all small towns in New England have different structures, whether you have city councils or town selectmen, everyone sort of comes from a different perspective. But, you know, the one thing they do have in common is that either they work for a very small salary or it's volunteer work. And when you think of it that way, people like to complain about what the government does, but I don't see anyone else rushing to work for $7,000 a year.
No.
For
that's a lot more than community. I ran for selectman down here in Chatham a couple of times, and it was only $3,000 a year plus health insurance. You know, so maybe it comes to $7,000 in that way. Anyway, the little voice in my ears tells me we have a little over a minute left. So if there was something that you all quickly want to point to or whatever before we go, and then we can sign off. So. I guess Steve's still there?
Yep, Steve's still here. Okay. Just very quickly, I think one of the powers of this kind of unconference is that when you get content that people care about, you can create a conversation, and then over time you can create community. So we're at the start of that, and I'm looking forward to continuing.
Great. Well, I'm glad you could join us today. What about Sarah and Laurel, real quick? Anything you want to wrap up with? I've got like 30 seconds left, so go ahead.
Okay, well.
Steve took it.
Yeah.
I just say thank you to everybody that came, and for the people who couldn't make it, I'm really sorry and hope you make it the next time.
Okay, and I will put a link. I'm going to use my newly found wiki skills to put a link to this podcast so people can hear us, even though it's not live. They can still get a sense of the people involved, and I think it'll add especially to those who were unable to attend. So, and so that's another session of OpenGov Radio. Join us next week, Tuesdays at 2 o'clock. Thanks again. Talk to you later, guys.
Goodbye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.